The email arrives while I'm standing at the printer, the smell of hot toner hanging in the air. My phone vibrates once, sharp and insistent, like it knows something I don't yet. The subject line is short, too clean. It uses my full name, spelled correctly, which already feels wrong. I don't open it right away. I watch the printer spit out a document I no longer care about, the paper warm when I pull it free. Around me, keyboards click, chairs roll, someone laughs near the coffee machine. Normal sounds. Ordinary sounds. I open the email anyway. The words blur at first, then sharpen. I feel heat creep up my neck, a tightness behind my eyes. My hands go cold. I read it twice, then a third time, because my brain refuses to accept how final it sounds. There's no greeting I recognize, no softness, no room to respond, just language that closes doors. I look up, half expecting someone to be watching me. No one is. That's when I realize this isn't a warning. This is the end. When I joined the company, people described it as fast-paced and ambitious, which was their way of saying no one slowed down long enough to question anything. It was a place where results mattered more than process, and where being indispensable bought you silence. I came in mid-level, experienced enough to know how to read a room, but still eager to prove I belonged there. I had worked harder jobs for less money, survived worse cultures, so I told myself this would be manageable. The first few months were almost flattering. My calendar filled quickly. My opinions were requested, then expected. People started looping me into emails that felt just a little too sensitive for my title. I noticed it, but I didn't resist. I told myself it meant trust. My direct manager liked to call me steady. He said it the way people say safe, with a smile that implied usefulness rather than respect. He leaned on me often, especially when things became messy. When deadlines slipped or tempers flared, I was the one he pulled into quiet rooms to smooth things over. He never asked outright. He assumed. I learned quickly that saying yes bought me flexibility, and saying no invited scrutiny. So I said yes. I stayed late. I rewrote reports that weren't mine. I sat in meetings where decisions were made before anyone spoke, and I nodded along. The first boundary crossed so lightly I almost missed it. An email thread included me by mistake, or so they said later. It outlined a plan to shift blame for a failed initiative onto a team that had no chance to defend itself. I read it once, then again, my stomach tightening. I didn't reply. I told myself silence was neutrality. I archived it and went back to work. No one followed up. No one apologized. That should have told me something. Over time, the requests became more specific. Can you just take a look at this before it goes out? Can you rephrase this so it sounds less aggressive? I became the translator between ego and consequence. I was praised for my discretion. That word came up often. Discretion. It sounded professional, grown, earned. I wore it like armor. I didn't realize it was also a leash. There were moments when I sensed I was being positioned, moved closer to the center without being given authority to match. I was invited into conversations that made my skin prickle, where jokes edged too close to confession. I laughed when expected. I kept notes no one asked for. I told myself this was how influence worked. You absorbed discomfort so others didn't have to. You learned when to stay quiet. You learned when to disappear. The warning signs didn't announce themselves. They blended into routine. The long pauses before someone answered a direct question. The way HR stopped making eye contact when certain names came up. The subtle shift when compliance language crept into casual conversation. I noticed all of it. I just didn't act. Acting would have required choosing a side. And I wasn't sure which side would survive. The pressure didn't spike all at once. It tightened slowly, like a room losing oxygen. One afternoon, my manager forwarded me an email chain with a note that read, "Thoughts." No context, no explanation. The chain included senior leadership and legal. The language was careful, almost elegant, but the intent was obvious. They wanted to document a narrative. They wanted a paper trail that led away from them. I read it carefully. Then sat back in my chair. My reflection stared back at me from the dark screen of my monitor. I felt older than I had that morning. I drafted a response and deleted it. Then I drafted another. Each version felt like a compromise. Each one nudged me closer to something I didn't want to own. I asked a neutral question instead, something that sounded helpful without committing to direction. The reply came quickly. "Let's discuss offline." That phrase always meant the same thing: no record, no witnesses. The meeting happened behind closed doors, no calendar invite, just a knock on my office door and a tilt of the head. Inside, the air felt heavy. They spoke calmly, confidently, as if the outcome were already agreed upon. I was told this was about protecting the company. I was reminded how visible I had become, how much trust had been placed in me. The implication hung there, unspoken. Loyalty was currency. Silence was proof. I left that room knowing I had crossed something irreversible. Not because I had agreed outright, but because I hadn't refused. From that point on, I was treated differently. More careful, more distant. My inbox filled with messages that assumed my alignment. I was CC'd on emails that no longer pretended to be ethical. I watched colleagues get sidelined, their access quietly revoked, their names fading from conversations. I told myself I was learning how power really worked. I told myself I was being smart. The email that changed everything wasn't dramatic. It wasn't angry or emotional. It was efficient. Someone outside my immediate circle had asked a question, a reasonable one, about a discrepancy I knew too much about. The draft response came to me for review. It contained a lie, a clean one, easy to miss. I stared at it longer than necessary. My hands hovered over the keyboard. I thought about my mortgage. I thought about my reputation. I thought about how tired I was of holding everyone else's secrets. I edited the email, just slightly, enough to remove the lie without calling attention to it. I told myself it was a compromise. I told myself it was safer this way. I hit send. The reply all notification chimed softly. I leaned back in my chair and exhaled, unaware that I had just made myself visible in a way I couldn't undo. The fallout didn't come immediately. That was the cruelest part. Days passed, then a week. Conversations continued as if nothing had shifted. I began to wonder if I had imagined the risk. Maybe no one noticed. Maybe this would slide into the vast archive of almosts. Then the email arrived. The one with my full name in the subject line. The one that didn't ask questions. It framed my actions as a concern. It referenced policy without citing specifics. It thanked me for my contributions before outlining next steps that excluded me entirely. I was instructed not to contact certain individuals. My access would be reviewed. A meeting was scheduled with no agenda attached. The tone was polite, distant, final. In the meeting, faces were neutral. Words were chosen carefully. No one raised their voice. No one accused me outright. Instead, they spoke about alignment and risk and perception. They spoke as if the decision had emerged naturally, like weather. I realized then that the system didn't punish dishonesty. It punished disruption. I had altered the narrative. That was unforgivable. Afterward, people avoided me. Some with guilt, others with relief. My calendar emptied. My badge stopped working one afternoon without explanation. When I finally packed my office, no one asked why. They didn't need to. The story had already been written without me. What lingered wasn't anger. It was clarity. I saw with painful sharpness how easily competence becomes liability when it stops serving power. I understood how silence is rewarded until it isn't. I replayed the email in my head, the small edit that tipped everything. It wasn't heroic, it wasn't dramatic, it was human. And it cost me everything that role had promised. I left without closure, without an apology, without the satisfaction of being right. What remained was the knowledge that the email didn't end my career because it was wrong. It ended it because it told the truth in a place that only survives on agreed-upon lies. That truth stayed with me long after the job disappeared, heavy and unresolved, changing how I read every message that followed.